All right, thank you, men, for bringing us the word. And we look forward to continuing to go on from here as we study 1 Peter. One of the dangers of doing it this way is that we get a bunch of individual messages and this thread of persecution. And Peter is writing to them about persecution and what how they should respond to persecution, things of that nature. And we lose sight of that. So I'm thankful for the men who brought. We are in the midst of persecution, that they are in the midst of persecution, and we can learn how we should work in the midst of a trial and in persecution. So I start with this question: how do you suffer? Comes your way when suffering or persecution may come your way. Do you just try to get through it? Try to weather the storm through the other side, hope that you'd come out okay? There's a country song that's as its chorus that says, if you're going through hell, keep on moving. Don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it. You might get out before the devil even knows you're there. It's by Rodney Atkins. It's bad, catchy tune, but it's bad. A lot of us probably take that same mindset in the middle of a persecution or when a trial. We just kind of get through it as fast as we can because we don't like it and it's not. Maybe some of us just like to wallow others and we complain about our circumstances and we surround. We start fighting back. My natural inclination is that competitive spirit to kick in with fire. Paint a very different picture about suffering and our response in the midst of suffering in verses 13 to 17. He doesn't want believers in Rome to just get through the suffering, but rather do something that can be done only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see what that is today. But before we jump into the passage, let's remind you of the suffering that they're facing. Remember, Rome someone, and so he blamed the Christians, and then all of a sudden they started persecuting, killing them. They were using them as human torches to light the gardens. They were going after them hard. This isn't a mild-mannered Western civilization type of persecution. They were dying for their faith. And Peter gives them this word here, starting in verse 13. It says, now, who can harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. In this passage, we see that Peter is encouraging the persecuted believers to keep doing good, even in the midst of persecution. In the verses 13 and 17, it says, now, it bookends this thought with, now, who should harm you if you were zealous for what is good? And then in verse 17 it says, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Wanting them to continue to do good. Even when before the persecution started, it was easy to do good. Now what is doing good? It is righteousness. It's turning the focus off of yourself and wanting to serve others. I appreciate Homer's thought there that we make life happy, that we look to serve our enemies. And even in the midst of persecution, he's wanting us to do that. And that sounds crazy and strange to us. We even look at it, who can harm you? There's people around them being on a basis. This does not make sense from an earthly perspective, but rather we need an eternal perspective. We need to change in many of our thinking and many of our ways. And look for the reason why he wants them to do that, right in the middle of the passage. It says the reason that he wants them to do good, it says, always be prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason that the hope that is in you. So that display of the persecution, the way they act, they're going to be looking different in the midst of persecution than a normal person would. And then they're going to have the opportunity to share the gospel. What in the world are you doing this way? Why are you doing it this way? And they say, hey, I got an opportunity to show you that I serve a real God who is worth following in my life now and today, not just a hope for the future. But this doesn't happen naturally. And there are three changes that we need to make according to this passage to continue to do good, to have the opportunity to share the gospel. The three changes: we need a change in perspective, we need a change in focus, and we need a change in action. Passage. First one, a change in perspective. Verse 14, at the beginning of verse 14, it says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Can suffering be something that is good for you? The scriptures speak of that. Here's three short examples. One, it strengthens your faith. James 1, 2 through 4, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. James reminds that through these trials, our faith is strengthened and it produces steadfastness. To trust him even more. Romans 5, 3 through 5 has a similar thing. It shows a building of sanctification, a progress in sanctification through trials. It says not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Rejoice in our sufferings. So knowing that suffering produces endurance. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Galatians 6 talks about how we have an opportunity in the midst of bear one another's burdens. So not only are we going to walk through trials and have suffering in the Christian life of our own, but come alongside someone who is in the midst of a trial, even though we might not be, step into the thick of that, put their arm around them and walk through that with them. It shows the love of the body. It shows how the body of Christ works together and the love of Christ being poured out through them. Jesus said, I will know you by your love. That is love. It's easy to stay over here and be, I'm praying for you. But when you walk over there and you put your arm around them and you walk through that trial with them, holding them up and carrying that burden, there's a joy that's inexpressible in that. There's a joy of caring for one another in that. And there's a demonstration of hope. Suffering can be a blessing if we are truly looking at life through the lens of eternity. We need a change in perspective. We need a change in focus. The rest of 14 into 15, it says, have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you. He starts off saying, do not fear. Don't be troubled. What does it mean to fear? It means to be to have an awe-filled reaction. He's addressing, we are called to fear. We're called to worship, not put our sole focus on the trial that we're walking through and how much it's impacting us. We are not to be scared. Do you believe the Lord is greater, more powerful, and worth more than the persecution you're going through, or those who are more persecuting you? And don't be troubled. Don't be agitated. Don't be nervous. Don't be on edge. This is the opposite of hope. Hope is not I hope so. It's not I'm hoping this happened. It's not optimism. It is a steadfast truth that you are placing your trust in, and you can stand there firmly because you know it'll come true. And that allows us to show that confidence. And we can do that as we honor Christ as holy. We trust him. We follow him. We put him in the proper place. This is how we show that Christ is different. This is how it impacted our lives. Then people will ask. The opportunity to point people to Christ. And what an amazing privilege that is. The other thing, always be prepared there. That assumes that the good times for when the trials come. This isn't going to magically happen once the trial comes if we start changing our focus. But in the times of times that we are living life good, and we have a tendency to lose and get by every day without depending, at least in our own mind, preparing. We need studying. We need to be growing in our walk with Christ. We need to be fellowshipping with the body. Trial comes, we're prepared. We're not only prepared to suffer well, to respond to the suffering well, but we're prepared to give that defense. It's Christ. It's all Christ. Then we need a change in action. Verse 15 through 16 says, "Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." So we're to do this. This is where I would struggle. I would turn my facial expressions, my body language, everything would be anything but gentle and respect. I would meet hostility with hostility, and it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And respect. What is gentleness? I think it's a misunderstood term. It means kindness, mildness, and definitely not weakness. This is not setting aside passion. This is not setting aside truth for the weakness. But rather, this is standing for truth, being passionate in a way, so that way your language doesn't show the opposite side of that. That we are able to sit there calmly and be respectful because we're trusting in a sovereign God. It's not up to us it's not up to us to convince them to know Christ. It's not up to play the role of the Holy Spirit of conviction, but we can stand respect and address those about our Lord. These are not normal reactions. When we are treated unfairly or wrongly, we want to meet hostility with hostility, defend our honor, and win the argument. But Peter wants us to live a life that even if those who are out to get us, that they can't find any, we have another opportunity to point people to our Savior. So a change in perspective, a change in focus. So what does this mean in our everyday life? What can we do this week to help apply this to our lives? I want to speak for those who are of a persecution. Prepare. It's coming. So prepare. Rest in the Lord. Walk in step. Study the scriptures, fellowship with the body of Christ. Also, be looking for ways that you can help bear, be the body of Christ. And for those who are in the trials, don't just try to survive it. Don't just try to get to the other side, but look to do good. Get your focus off of self and start looking at who you can serve. And who you can share the gospel with and make much of our Lord. Have a change in perspective, a change of focus, and a change. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are a great and mighty God. You are a God of your, a God that we can trust, a God that we can rest upon. You're a God that has given us promises and truth that we can hold to as our anchor. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to grow in our ability to trust in those. Help us to grow in our ability to rest in those, not just privately, not just internally, but allow that to spill over into the way that we act, the way that we communicate in our nonverbals, our facial expressions, our body position, all those sort of things, Lord, that we can show that you are a God worth trusting. Lord, this doesn't mean that we ignore the trial or we downplay it or anything of that nature, Lord, but we recognize that even in the midst of the hottest persecution, Lord, that you are good and we can trust in you and that you are sovereign and your will be done, Lord, and help us to do that more and more. Lord, I pray that as we are either preparing for suffering or in the midst of it, Lord, that we would constantly be looking to you, that we would be pointing others to you as we share the gospel with them and we tell them about the good news of your Savior, of your Son coming to save us, Lord. And that you would just open their hearts and minds to be able to see that, Lord. I pray that we would faithfully spread the seed of the gospel. And Lord, I just thank you again for this evening and the opportunity we have to fellowship as a body. And I pray that you and your Spirit would take the truth that was spoken tonight and go to work in each and every one of the hearts and lives of the people in this building, Lord. And I pray that you would just continue to work in their hearts until they are molded and shaped to look more and more like your Son, Lord. And I just ask this all in your precious and holy name. Amen.